Late night tonight.
Where is she?
A fellow cop leads Pepper into a trap on Policewoman.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
So, early this morning, I usually send Josh a video or two to get the show rolling, and there are a lot of interesting things on the show today, but I always like to have a little funny, and I was looking for this comedian who's been really having a great summer in the United States with a tour, Jimmy Carr, a British comedian who's a very, very funny guy, and he's but he's a bit of a potty mouth, and he does crowd work, and he has material, and you know how much I love crowd work comedians.
Yeah.
There's another comedian one time that I was watching that was dissing crowd work comedians, and I was like so pissed at this guy, because crowd work is, to me, you know, if it's done well, it's spectacular. If it's done poorly, it's exposed right away.
The person who would diss it is someone that can't do it.
Yeah.
Because it is, when done right, it's the most sensational, because you have no idea what's coming.
And I'm fine with comedians that just, you know, have all... Look, George Carlin was written to down to the syllable, everything. But, you know, don't poop on somebody, because that's what they do to make you laugh. Making you laugh is fun. So Jimmy Carr is, you know...
It's gutsier to do crowd work, because it's not rehearsed. Yeah.
We keep the show radio-friendly. Tough to get him on his clips on the show. The one that I like the most is when they said, British food is S, and Jimmy Carter says, Jimmy Carr says, well, we've got some of these fabulous chefs. We've got Gordon Ramsay, and he lists these Michelin chefs from Britain. He said, but of course, I understand what you've got. You've got Ronald McDonald and Wendy, and then he says,
Wendy
and the Burger King. And it's just, I think he's a funny guy. So if you want to check out Jimmy Carr, maybe at some point I'll find the tape that I was going to play today, which was very funny, but it's a very early day in the house and pandemonium. Next week we will do that. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Very, very glad to have you along. I want to, right at the beginning of the show, mention that we've got a special bonus show tomorrow where we're going to dive into something that has fascinated me for a very, very long time, and something that I even did a research paper on in college. And that is, unfortunately,
tariffs?
It's not tariffs. Thank you.
The Epstein files.
It is UFOs. And, I know, speaking of tariffs and your favorite president, are you aware of the audio of the phone call about Marjorie Greene that has surfaced? And I have no idea whether it's completely fake or not. How can we possibly know anymore? Where he is screaming. Are you, either one of you, have you
I've
been...
I've not heard that, no.
He's yelling, and it's like him over a phone line saying, tell her to stop, prevent that from happening. I don't want those files released. If we have to go to war with... Are you aware of it, Josh? Have you heard about it?
I have not heard about it. I'm
looked up Donald Trump phone call about Marjorie Greene.
Yeah, it's right here on Snopes. Fact check: rumor of leaked phone call of Trump panicking about the Epstein.
What did Snopes say? They're good little sneaky people that find out whether something's real or not.
They're a sneaky little ass just like you.
They're a sneaky little outfit.
It was made by Sura.
Oh, that's the guy that does all the AI of Elvis and Bob Barker. He does all
that. All right, so that's then I will not give it the light of day.
It appears to be AI-generated.
AI-generated, which doesn't surprise me with all the audio we have.
But you know what's not AI-generated is the charming president smiling and calling a young lady a piggy.
Now, that one I never saw.
Well, and that was, again, he was talking to Peggy. But Piggy is funny, but he told Peggy to be quiet. Peggy is a White House reporter for, I think, the Associated Press.
I'll never buy it.
Do we have that? Do we have that one?
The problem with it is there's so much airplane noise. That's why I didn't pull it for the beautiful video. But yeah, I'm sure Josh can bring it up without him.
I was trying. If you could get lost all day and all night into the wee hours of the morning trying to find the different clips and where they are. And between the news sources letting you read 1/8 of an article and then saying, want to read the rest?
Yes.
Be part of our Slate comes to mind as being really good at
the
that.
The one that I Slate hate
will
the most.
Slate will like whet your appetite and then lay it on you. And I'm like, nope, don't care if it's $5 for 3 months. Don't want to do it.
When they take it away from you, I don't mind if it's just like cut off. I hate when it's there, but it's blurry.
It's very frustrating.
Because do you try to read it still?
If we had 10,000 a month, we'd have all of them, you know, right, but we exactly. don't anymore. Yeah. Do we have the Piggy comment?
Here is Piggy.
Very good.
Okay.
A moment from Donald Trump.
No, that sounds like Piggy.
It is definitely Piggy.
It's not Peggy. Piggy.
It sounds like Piggy.
Well, I think it is Piggy.
Yeah. It probably is.
Let's roll it again.
He should have called her Margaret.
Let's see here.
It's Piggy. His lips don't even move like it's Piggy.
And
it's clearly Piggy.
He smiles when he says it just a little bit. Yeah. That's cold.
You said it's clearly Piggy?
It's clearly Piggy.
Piggy.
Oh, it's clearly Piggy.
Yeah. You can even see his lips move. It's Piggy.
Mm-hmm. Piggy. That tea looks good. That tea looks really. Has that got like a raspberry infusion in it? I'm always obsessed with what you're taking into your body.
It's just Lipton.
Can we take a look at the color of that? Look at that.
It's very rich brewed. I let it steep a long time.
Oh, see, that's the key. And by the way, if you want iced tea, that's what you do. You get that tea flavor in there.
Yeah, and then you put a lot of ice in, and it balances it all out.
And here's to you for maintaining great American brand loyalty, like Lipton tea.
People will come to me with Tetley and Red Rose, and I tell them to get bent.
Well, even those are biggies. Those are big names, too, in the tea game.
It's not big tea as Lipton always has been, always will be. You get yourself a mixture of black tea and Orange Pico tea, and you put it in a bag, and you run hot water through it.
Pico.
But no matter what tea company, it's not from America. We can't grow tea in America, just like we can't grow coffee.
Well, that's true. We have low tea in America.
Yes, a lot of doctors provide supplements for that. My wife does that kind of stuff, I think, somewhere. Yeah. One of those
tea?
Many things she's hawking. By the way, I was at her new brick and mortar store and met her next door neighbors, and I'll give them a plug here.
Are they wacky next door neighbors?
I don't know if they were the owners of the place, the managers of the place, the construction guy that's working on the place or what, but they were all like really super nice. And it was really a moment that made me reflect on entrepreneurship and small businesses. I was right. I'm in the belly of small business.
Is it the lobster roll guy?
Yeah, Mason's Lobster Rolls. That's the name of the place. Now, they've got a few locations, so they're in a different league than we are. Mm-hmm. They are expanding and just super, super nice people. And I realize if you want to engage Mike O'Mara, talking about myself in a third person here, in a conversation, mention a gambling emporium. And we talked about...
Oh, did they?
Well, I said I was a Mainer. I had Maine connections. And he says, well, I'm from New England. He said, have you been to... I said, well, I'm actually from the middle of Connecticut. He said, oh, have you been to Foxwoods? And we're off. And we're off. And just really cool to have that shop right next to my wife in Fort Myers, Florida, because they've got the clam chowder and they've got the different kinds of lobster rolls.
You know what they say, Mike.
Looking so delicious.
Their motto is, once they get their claws on you, you'll never leave Mason.
Once they get their claws into you, you're toast. But super nice people. And
that's good. Neighbors are important, and also, you know, complimentary businesses. It's
nice. An exciting time, and if she wanted more business, well, she's got it, because I pulled out of her parking lot and it was like every 85-year-old was coalescing around this particular area. And I am telling you,
are there a lot of big cars in that parking lot?
No, they're not. No, what you're getting now, you're going back to the dark ages when people
you
now
yourself have mentioned the old people in their big cars. Down
no,
there.
Not anymore.
The,
no,
the newer Oldsmobiles are still pretty sleek.
And they have now the sensible SUVs. That's really
the
what
you crossover?
Say. Yeah, the crossover SUVs, yeah, the you sensible get,
you
know, SUVs.
If you move into Loudoun County, they issue you one. It's
yeah,
important.
It's
yeah.
standard operating procedure. That's the way it goes. But to my beautiful wife, Carla, who is a world beater and somebody with tremendous energy and initiative and has taken this thing. I remember when she came to me when we moved down here and she said, I need this amount of money for learning how to be an esthetician and learning and getting licensing for, and you know, bam, that was it. And then the rest, you know, she did it on her own.
It was brave because she had to leave her previous career of international explorer.
No, what she left was she was a manager and a co-owner of a court reporting firm, which she
that's
hated.
That's how you met her, isn't it?
Yes, when I was doing one of my many depositions. I remember, just to get a little window into her previous occupation,
right.
She hated Thursdays. Thursdays and part of Fridays because lawyers would scramble to get all their records together and to get all their court reporting documents together on Thursday. And go figure, attorneys can be a little arrogant. So that's what she dealt with.
No, no,
glad
that's
to leave
true.
That. And then took some time off to raise our son, Michael, and then got back into it. And it's really, really kind of cool. My only contribution to her new space yesterday mm-hmm. was to, what did I go out and retrieve? I went out and I retrieved wall hanging materials, a little Goo Gone for the stickers that had been like Chamber of Commerce stickers that have been
on the
business window. And yeah. What else did I get?
Oh, didn't you pick up fresh dill for Mason?
Fresh dill, yes, fresh dill. You. I don't put dill on a lobster roll, Rob.
No, no, but you can put dill in other things and it's fine. It doesn't right. just serve lobster at Mason's.
Yeah, I know. Well, I get it.
Someone's got to walk down the strip mall trying out the food.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Figure out what's good to buy in here.
Yeah.
We are at the final finish line. Most finish lines are final for the TMOS Family Cookbook. Josh, I hope I wasn't too much of a pain in the ass last night.
No.
First of all, I didn't get back to Josh's email/text until like 9 hours later.
Yeah, I was about 10 minutes and giving up on you.
Yeah, I know, because then, I completely, and Carla came home and said, did you get the request of Josh to proof
yeah.
Your part of the, or not necessarily my part, but the part of the cookbook that has yes. my recipes.
Because I said, I need to order it tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what happened was I went through it and suddenly I noticed like right away some typos
yes.
that were in there. And then
you also, to be fair, had the wrong copy.
I did.
There was one already proofread by Rob that was sent after that one.
Well, that doesn't offer me any consolation at all. That terrifies me.
No, it mustn't terrify
Rob is,
you.
Well, you're our copywriter. How many, there's not a day that goes by that there's not a typo
there
in the copy.
There are dozens of days that go by.
I was, would you, all right, I'm going to be as fair as I can be here.
Good, and I will accept it.
Don't you think, based on our history of mm-hmm. text,
yeah,
that I have a legitimate cause for just a tiny bit of angst when I am told that you are the chief proofreader of the cookbook?
I agree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Because I think I'm fair. I think
yeah.
I'm fair.
And you
with
are
that.
Firm but fair.
Firm but fair. And when I saw that, I went, "Oh God, what's going on?" And I didn't
to be
panic.
Fair.
But I wanted Rob because Rob is more of the chef, the baker.
Yes. Yes.
So I wanted him to look at
Rob,
the recipes.
Rob's got more recipes in the book than Rob's family. Between Rob's family and Rob himself, they're more.
42 pages.
They're more.
Thanks for the statistics.
No, I know that's
John Canoza there.
That's not a real number.
What mm-hmm. What you don't know is that the version that Josh and I proofread, we actually went through page by page. It yeah. wasn't like a dicey thing where I just said, fix this, fix that.
Well, yeah, so you corrected my pages?
We deleted the one. No, we did. Because you sent a couple corrections yesterday. One was you just rewrote a phrase. So I wouldn't consider that a mistype. You just changed the way you wanted it to say.
Yeah.
And then
there was the double paged.
And the double page was already
gone. But that wasn't Mike. And then, I mean, there was little things around, some layout errors that we corrected and some just, you know, little things.
Well, the bottom line is it's done.
Yeah.
And it's at the printers. And the fact is it's going to be for those people that are coming on the cruise, you're going to get that'll be delivered to your hot little hands. For everybody else, it's going to be sent out as soon as we get them back. And
we're setting up a small boutique kitchen on the boat so you can go and make our recipes. I'm lying.
You know, do we have a commercial for the cookbook in the show today? If we don't,
we do.
I'll stop
in the
talking.
Fourth slot.
Of course we do. All right. So
I don't understand.
You don't. Of course you don't. Because you don't think about this show the way
actually,
I think about this show.
Actually, I do understand.
Okay. Yeah. So they're ready. It's going to be. I love the book. I love the cookbook. It's really.
It was fun to look through it. I love.
Well, there's so many recipes that just jump off the page that I want to try. Mm-hmm. Now, the only one, and I do not want to cast aspersions on anybody here, but the one that sounds a little heavy to me that I was excited about were the meat beans. Because the meat beans, I thought maybe they were just regular beans, but I didn't realize that they were the store-bought beans as a base.
Well, yeah, but also there's lots of other unsauced beans that are in it. It really, when you eat
there are different varieties
but
of beans.
I think it starts with a can or two cans, depending on your batch, of just like baked beans, like Vandekamps or Bushers.
Vandekamps.
But also, meat beans, Mike, when it's properly prepared, is really comparable to like chili.
Okay,
chili
that's what I figured.
Beans and
all
meat,
right.
But it just has a slightly different profile. Yeah,
it's a little sweeter taste, probably.
The one thing, I have one recipe in there. I won't tell you what it is.
Oh, I know what I saw. The thing that I liked the most was the layered salad thing.
Oh, yeah.
Aunt Mickey's layered salad. And here's the thing, though. What I didn't realize about Aunt Mickey's layered salad, with all that great stuff in there,
the best.
It screamed fresh that... Well, at the end, you take all the layers away and you mix it all up.
Well, yeah, for service, sure.
Oh, I didn't know that, you know, but you layer it when you're building. There's some good stuff in there. I'm excited.
I have one recipe, no spoilers. I won't say what it is, but the first sentence in the description is Mike hates this recipe.
And that was tater tots?
No, don't reveal it. It's something that you definitely hate, though.
That I've had?
Yes, that you can eat.
Okay, I bet. Well, anyway, we'll tell you more about how to get your hands on the cookbook later on.
We did squeeze in one Kraft marshmallow recipe.
Yes, we did.
For the holidays.
And a Charlie recipe, which, you know, and for those of you, by the way, if there's anyone planning on making the Charlie recipe, you know, get help.
Send me a pint of it. I'd like that.
The Charlie recipe is a typical thing you see in like middle schools. Yeah. And I think if you're doing a kid's birthday party, Charlie's recipe would be perfect.
Okay, there you go. Well, that's it.
And if I had a kid's birthday party, I would make tater tot casserole.
Last week, before I took my sugar break and was going through my son's Halloween candy,
I stumbled for razor blades again?
No, just looking for anything. And I stumbled on Josh's favorite candy. And I have to say, really, 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 Skittles... A fantastic product. Truly
I've come around
fantastic.
On them.
It's just pure sugar, but it's a wonderful use of sugar in my humble opinion.
I think one of the reasons with Skittles is they go a little extra on their flavor profile.
They do. It blasts.
And it's great.
I think if you stack a Skittle up against a Starburst, the Skittle's going to win every time.
Well, of course, because you have to unwrap a Starburst.
But no, that's not the problem.
That's part of it. Slows you down.
Because they've got the Starburst minis, so you don't have to unwrap them.
Yeah, but even the Starburst minis are not.
Skittle still wins.
The Skittle explodes.
If you have a yellow Skittle and you bite into it, you know it's lemon. If you use some of this classic hard candy that I keep at my desk, sure it's going to taste like lemon.
Is that a lemon drop?
Yeah, that's just a hard candy lemon. I also have, I guess that's red flavored. I don't know if it's sort of
cherry
berry.
Or cinnamon.
Or cinnamon.
No, it's not cinnamon. It's like cherry or berry or some sort.
Okay.
Of course, lime, which is wonderful.
I bet I know the brand. Brock's. Well,
actually, Mike, they are generic from the bulk candy warehouse.
So you got them online?
Yeah, I did.
Uh-huh. How much did you pay for? How many did you get, and how much did you pay for?
Well, I'll show you the bag. Hold on. Bag is up here. Oh no! I spilled them. Okay. The bag is a 2-pound bag right there. And it, I think it was like $9.
Did you, I just take me through the thought process,
because
please.
When I bought my cinnamon disc that I was addicted to forever, that's who had the best deal on cinnamon discs. But, yeah, sometimes you just want a piece of hard candy.
Well, when you talk about hard candy, does it stack up against the brand name stuff that you
get? Absolutely. I wouldn't be surprised if they were not built by Brock's or made by Brock's and then just relabeled. But, you know, Brock's tends to do a flat disc, like a cinnamon disc or a butterscotch disc. These are more barrel-shaped.
I keep flashing back to food, and my mind tends to race when I'm talking about that.
I also have bought root beer barrels from them.
Really?
Yeah, I like them.
In the new joint where Carla's business is, not only can I get a lobster roll,
yes,
but I can also get, she brought home the pizza joint, the Tony's Pizza, that's a chain around here. Every city in America has got a Tony's Pizza.
Wait a second. There's a pizza place called Tony's?
Shocker. And man, oh man. Oh, you never know, right?
You never know, especially
with that generic name. You never know. And that is, look, I'm just saying it's going to make our lives
Have you
better.
Met Tony?
No, haven't had the pleasure of doing that.
Is he a refugee from his homeland?
There's a burrito joint, there is a Subway, and there is a Tony's, and a lobster roll, and
you
a duck donuts.
Subway, like a sandwich store, or like access to get to the building?
No, there it's for buyer's ass.
And when do you move your studio into the back room?
I unfortunately, there will be another talented esthetician doing work as
another
the expansion.
Podcast back there.
No. But I'd love to. I would love to have my own dedicated room, but I really don't need it. And the joy of just sliding in here every day and kicking a cord or two out and disengaging from the show in its entirety is too sweet for me. So
and to
I like
be fair,
that.
You do have a room that is your room. It's not like that. You know, you also have card games
yeah, but
or
like,
dinner in there.
You know, when we're talking about the holiday coming up with Thanksgiving and Elizabeth and her boyfriend coming down to how long has it been, Rob? Right?
Christmas is a great time.
It's been a while.
They're coming down for Thanksgiving. They're coming down next week. They're taking the train.
That's an even better time to ask permission to give a Christmas gift.
Yeah, you ask for the hand, and then Christmas, you really let it all hang out, baby.
Don't hold your breath. by the way, this is how I know that the foot traffic, major grocery store chain, also, two banks, not one, two. And, you know, banks are dropping like flies.
One of them Wells Fargo and the other Truist?
No, one of them is the bank that's named after the Gulf.
Gulf of Mexico or Bank of America?
There you go. You got there. But this is when you know. Yes,
go
ahead.
Did you go in? Are there people in the bank? Because they opened up a new Chase Bank down the street here, and I don't think there's any employees.
I don't know. I haven't been. It is my bank. So
is it an AI bank?
No, it's like a bunch of ATMs inside.
Wow.
And no people.
Now, the only problem is, and I don't like to start on a negative, and I certainly like to promote her business and give her kudos, but that restaurant is in there, and they go everywhere where there are people, and they're in there too. And I may have done the longest monologue on that restaurant in the negative that I have ever done. Do you happen to remember what it was?
Does it start with an A?
No.
Oh, I thought it might be
Starts
Applebee's.
With a C.
They always do.
Yeah.
Is it Chick-fil-A?
No.
Is it my place? It's Chili's?
No, it's a sit-down restaurant. It's a fancier restaurant because they have a big wine element to it.
Cooper's Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every time I go by, because of the experience I had there, I go,
yeah, yeah.
I won't bore you with the details with that. Yeah.
But it sounds like the right clientele.
Yes, I mean I'm excited
what?
For
idiots.
Go to Cooper Hawk.
By a subscription.
Come on now, please help me out here. You know what's right across the street?
What's that?
A very, very significantly nice car wash. And that leads me to my next topic today, because I have become, in my old age, a bit of a germaphobe.
Okay.
I find myself going into fast food joints or sit down. I'll give the last example was the Waffle House,
yes,
where I was able to finish a waffle, but barely, because I was so grossed out and so germaphobed out by the entire environment.
The sticky everything. Yeah.
It is the proximity of the fat asses combined with the dental hygiene of the workers and the stickiness of the floors and tables
and the
almost
menus.
Made me want to retch.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that the germaphobe, this was not the car wash I went to. I have a regular one. Do you, by the way, oh, David Olson, thank you. I have built up episodes of the show from my work commute, so I look forward to hearing my Super Chat sound alarm in about 3 weeks.
That'll be good. You know, it'll be a Christmas miracle for
Merry
him.
Merry Christmas.
Way to go. Thank you. We appreciate all the Super Chats on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is where, do either one of you guys have... do enough car washing where you get the monthly car washes?
Oh,
I've thought about it
in
the past.
But they do offer that up here, but I don't have a car, so it seems silly to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And mine doesn't run.
you
get stuck in the car wash.
What is your car situation right now?
Who, me?
No, I'm talking to,
Josh just talked about how his car was broken.
Well, I know he's got but what is your car situation with only, you refer to it an awful lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I never get to drive anymore. Carrie has my blue Subaru.
Right.
Remember, that's what I got when I flipped the red one. And so...
happened to the one that blew up that you were going to trade in?
That's the one that turned over, the one that flipped.
Able to get anything for it?
No, it was a total loss, so we got money from the insurance company.
Okay.
It's nice, though, when you get to that position where you don't have a car payment. Where you're just like, maybe I don't need that car. Is that car worth hundreds of dollars every month?
The magic of our situation is that the car that Carrie drove until it seized because she didn't change the oil, that was a Kia. We owned that outright.
Okay,
but we don't have that anymore.
Okay. And that the insurance didn't cover that.
No, nothing did.
So when you say that, and speaking of automobiles, and we've been talking about it a lot with Josh's repairs and my repairs, the whole purpose, essentially, of me repairing Carla's car was that, I checked the bank account the other day. I will not have a car payment in 2060. So I'm really excited about that. But getting back to her car and getting work, the primary reason for doing all of this repair work on the car was the chain reaction of the cooling system to the oil system to the dreaded blown gasket to prevent any of that from happening. So that would cause the oil to leave. Now, you're saying that the Kia that you guys used to drive around in, that seized because she simply ignored changing the oil, or how did that go down? Because you have to work pretty hard to ignore lights to seize an engine.
The Kia, I'm not sure I'd ever buy another Kia product, although this one lasted a good while and it was a comfortable car. It had a thing where the lights would come on all the time, and we'd take it to the dealership or take it to a mechanic, and he'd say, well, yeah, I can reset it. It's really not a problem. So I think that we might have gotten a bit blasé about the lights.
Okay.
And then again, also, I didn't drive it, so I really can't answer that. Mm-hmm. But I know that it was not worth repairing.
You would strike me as somebody who would be quite meticulous when you would get a warning light. That you would be, because you're like a good boy, you do what you're told, and you would take it right into the dealership.
I know you say that like you're belittling me, but yeah, I've never had a car seized.
I'm not belittling you.
But I'm not necessarily a good boy.
I've already belittled you at the beginning of the show, accusing you of bad proofreading. That's
being illiterate, but I'm not a bad boy.
Totally see it get to the point, though, that the dealer finally tells Rob, stop bringing it in, don't worry about it. The light's going off all the time.
Yeah, I am very meticulous with schedule maintenance.
And I was not saying but that's because you are, you're a good son, as you have proven, and you're a good boy, and, you take it in to get it work. Carrie, not so much? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, when you've been married 25 to 30 years, you'll get there someday, Mike. Mm-hmm. When you get to that point, you fall into genuine...
Is that belittling me? Is that belittling me? What's wrong?
Bit.
This is not a good day to pick on me. I'm very exhausted, you know. I'm doing the very best I can, you know. Josh and I have worked very hard to prepare your bonus show.
We might never get to that 20-year mark. All right, It'll be okay.
Okay. Responsibilities sort of fall into right. different hoppers. And car is my responsibility. And that car was, but the car that seized never really was my responsibility because it was her car.
Okay.
So, but now that she's driving the newer car,
I'm in the same situation where I would feel as though if something happened, really is not my thing because I'm not behind the wheel.
No, because you're not in it every day. You're not in it every day.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, taking it in there, did the engine seize because of an oil leak or did she just not put oil in it?
I think it was a situation where it was burning oil and it was not replenished.
Okay. Well, that's tough.
You know what? Hindsight, baby. 2020.
Yeah.
I was told with my car situation yesterday, because I have not done anything with it yet, mm-hmm. that I can purchase an extended warranty, and then if I wait 30 days and get it to drive 1,000 miles, I can then claim the broken transmission on the extended warranty and get it covered.
Who told you this?
How much is the extended warranty?
$170 a month.
And you have to, would you be able to drive it 1,000 miles?
I could probably get 1,000 miles out of it.
Okay.
That'd be all weekend, though. It's not like you're going to get 1,000 miles in normal. You're going to have to take it out on the highway.
Yeah, but for him, would you be, have you done your family junkets in that truck? Have you hauled the family to Georgia or to the Carolinas?
Many times. That's why when I went to the Ford dealership, they said, oh, I've never seen a Maverick with this many miles.
Oh, that must be pleasant.
Yeah. Because I see them as work vehicles all the time, and somehow I got to 120,000 miles faster than anyone else.
If you buy the extended warranty for $179 a month, and you know, knowing
and
your
God
situation,
knows Iced Tea, or is it right? Isn't that Iced Tea that does Car Shield?
Yeah, exactly.
It's $170 a month, and but you got to sign up for 30 months.
Okay,
that's
which
the
I
thing.
Did the math.
Okay,
is still half the price of what I'd have to pay out now.
And it'd be broken out over the months. So
and by the way, if you get any other things that come up on a car with that much mileage, it might be worth your while, you know, with that. So what were you going to say, Rob? I'm sorry.
I was just wondering that, you know, if it's broken up into $179 pay, that's still a big bite. But if you do 179 times 30 and it's less than what they're, and that becomes an interest-free loan.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes good business sense.
I just have to do some more research because a shady car guy told me this, and I don't want it to be that. I don't want to sign up for the warranty.
No,
that's true.
Let it sit in the driveway for a month and then call and they'd be like, oh, it's not covered.
Yeah. You got to be absolutely, because I mean, that's the sole reason you are doing that. By the way, warranties in a land long ago, far, far away. I remember the name of the car. Josh, if you can find a picture of this car, it would be really fun. This was one of the very first cars I ever bought, and it was a weird car, a weird name, and it's the last time I ever bought a warranty. I ever added on a warranty on a car. It was a Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo,
When we talk about your cars, this one always turns my head a little bit. Like,
because and if you looked at it, you'd say, you know, at the time, just know this: when we see this picture, this is going to look like a Model T. I think, if I'm reasonably sure.
Well, what year was it? Do you think?
Oh God, it would be 19.
To put it in perspective, 85 is when you started more.
It would be 80s, somewhere in the 80s.
Okay.
I think, you know,
so
and
it was the look at me car though.
Oh, this is a sexy car.
Okay.
Yeah.
Take a look at this. There it is.
Oh, no, that is not what I pictured.
That is the Mitsubishi Cordia Turbo. I had a red one.
Was that a hatchback?
It was a hatchback.
Oh, you can move a lot of luggage.
And the turbocharger in it, if you can find another picture like of the front, that would be cool. I'd love to like take a trip down memory lane. The turbo went bad on it. And I took it in, and I'm thinking, well, now I'm glad I got the warranty. And they said something. They said, well, you have to look at this. And there was this fine print that said the turbocharger wasn't covered.
And
because the turbocharger was something that would go bad due to, like, the driver error or what, you know.
Course.
There it is!
You totally bought it just because of that turbo in the center.
There it is.
That scoop on the hood.
There it is.
And you know what's great? That's a British version because it's got a British plate. So.
I don't know if that is the identical version of the one I had because I somehow think the grill on mine was definitely that color red. It was definitely that color red, but I think it looked different.
The steering wheel would have been on the other side.
Yeah, and the grill looks different. I think I had a nicer grill. By the way, down the road, I ended up buying another Mitsubishi. This one was you weren't working with me.
No,
at that
I wasn't.
Point,
I wasn't with you know? You in the mornings.
It was a Mitsubishi. VR something. It was a sports car. It was a very popular sports car. You still see some of them on the road today.
Was it the VD?
The VR4?
VR4.
Okay.
VR4. Great. Now that car will hold up. If you had that car, Cherry, and you had that in your driveway, that would still turn heads. That was a beautiful sports car that I had.
See, that's disappointing because my Mitsubishi television only lasted 5 years.
Well, I think Mitsubishi is an interesting car company because, there it is.
Oh, you could sell that today.
Yeah,
you can sell that today. Isn't that beautiful?
Classic.
That's a beautiful
styled lines.
And it's got that old style pop-up lights.
And I had a black one. I had a black one that was just
color with you.
And that thing drove like a dream. I loved that car. And that I ended up turning in for an Acura. I don't remember roommates I've had, but I remember the cars, like almost sequentially.
There's several instances when you've had cars that you've loved and adored.
Yes.
And you've gotten rid of them.
Yeah.
I think of that two-seater that you had, the gold-colored Mercedes, when we were...
That was the 500SL. That's the best car I ever bought.
That was the greatest car of all time.
And you would look at that car now, and that would be another one that looks like a Model T.
No, I disagree. I bet if you saw it today, you'd love it just as much.
I go back to that Mitsubishi VR4 in black that I had. That was, what do they say about cars? It looked fast when it was at a stop sign. Parked in the driveway, the car was fast. That's the way
I look at that. When you first saw the guy that had the Mitsubishi, did you rollerblade up to his door to tell him about it?
Like your video yesterday?
I can't stop thinking about that guy in that video.
We had you don't have that handy, do you?
I don't think I do. Oh, look at that.
Okay.
Mike.
That's a great picture of it. That is a great picture of it.
I'm not even a car guy, and I used to lust after that car.
I never duplicated that feeling again of driving off the lot from the American Service Center in Arlington, Virginia.
Always the home of the fair price.
With that automobile, I never felt better.
When you were driving and say it start to rain just a little bit, how'd those wipers on the lights do? Did they really clear your path?
That's
yeah,
so great.
It was really more like, you know what, not only wipers, Josh, you pressed a button and they put out cleaning fluid on the wiper, on the headlights. They did. I will tell you also this, that with the top down, how about this?
Yeah.
You would put the top down on that car and within seconds you could put the top up and you wouldn't have to lock anything down. Before that, convertible tops were kind of tedious to do that. And I also, when I bought that car, I discovered that certain cars can make people just assume you're an a-hole. So
I don't think so. You know what, Mike?
Shannon Fisher has a question from the comments, and that's great. I'm glad that she brought that up. Which car purchase was the one where Mike threw the keys at the salesman? And I got them reversed, Shannon. It was the Acura that I traded in on the Mitsubishi VR4, and that was the purchase.
Okay.
In Annapolis, Maryland. Don't remember the name of the dealership, but that's when they tried to bake me over $400, and they tried it at every level. Salesman, sales manager, general manager, and then owner. And the owner only came in after I'd thrown the keys, and he ended up eating it because I was so pissed off that they wanted to grab that extra amount of money. You know, they do that in dealerships all the time.
Course,
it's still done
it's
all the time.
It's just gravy.
But that's great to remember that story. Thank you, Shannon. I remember that very well.
As you know, Mike, we've been together a long time, coming up on 35 years.
Yep.
And I have a few moments that always spring to mind as being great moments in that time. And, Josh, imagine, if you will, as a 19-year-old young man – and a guy that you've listened to on the radio for your entire life says, can you go gas up this Mercedes for me? It was the greatest perk of working as an intern at WJFK, because that car, you had to go to a Shell station or Sunoco because it took a high test octane. Remember? Yeah. It was special gas.
And when you have a convertible and you're driving a car like that, this is just for anybody that might purchase something really, really fast and hot and good looking. Don't get in an argument with an 18-wheeler because then, and especially with your top down, because then they might, I think that pipe that he threw out of the window maybe missed me by about 11 inches.
Am I remembering right that it was near the Wilson Bridge?
Right near the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, yes. On the Virginia side of the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. And all of a sudden I look up and I see, could I prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt? Well, no, I don't think it just kicked up off the road. Right. I believe that came from the guy that I had just flipped off. So that was that.
You're not in a convertible, it's good logic to not
absolutely.
Flip people off.
It's a good thing to remember. It's a good thing to remember. This holiday season, what does comfort look like to you? For me, it's slowing down, finding calm amid the chaos, and making home a place where everyone can truly relax. That's where Avocado Green Mattress comes in. Avocado helps you create your own natural oasis, a calm, cozy space filled with certified organic comfort. Their handcrafted mattresses are designed for deeper, more restorative sleep, and their breathable pillows and soft organic bedding bring that same luxury to every part of your home. Hosting family this year, Avocado's sustainable furniture, like their beautifully made city bed frame, helps you create a warm, inviting space where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Everything Avocado makes is thoughtfully crafted with the planet in mind, certified organic, non-toxic, and built to last, so you can feel good about the comfort you bring into your home, because Avocado believes in being better for you and better for the planet. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better. Lots of show coming up, ladies and gentlemen, but first I want to tell you, unfortunately, back then we didn't have Soul gummies.
Should have had them.
Nobody would have thrown anything at me if I had those. You know, the holiday season can be very stressful. There's shopping parties, travel. When you need to slow down and you want to actually relax, reach for Soul's out-of-office gummies, a perfect balance. They've got the CBD, they got the THC. They help you find your calm and keep your peace of mind. Soul specializes in delicious hemp-derived THC and CBD products designed to boost your mood and help you unwind. If you like their out-of-office gummies, try the out-of-office beverage.
Delicious.
It's a refreshing alcohol-free alternative that's perfect for winding down on the couch or socializing with friends. Or how about socializing with friends on your couch? Soul also has a variety of products specifically designed to help you get a better night's sleep, including their top-selling sleepy gummies. Plus, all of Soul's products are made from organically farmed USA-grown hemp and are vegan, gluten-free, low in sugar, and federally legal. And great. Yes.
I was going to say, I had one last night. I took a 15 last night.
Mm-hmm.
And after you take a 15 and it comes on, you don't mind that there's 80 plot lines in the morning show. It just makes it a much more pleasant watch.
Yeah. I thought you'd taken it right before the show yesterday.
You're being silly.
They're great for luxury cruise ships, too. Get it? Take advantage of Soul's Black Friday Cyber Money deal, a Monday deal now for a limited time. Get 40% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 40% off. Don't miss their best deal of the year, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Hold on a second.
That's right.
Get this all organized.
He has to prepare this, Josh, because this is what is called Mike's Tidbits.
Accusing Rob of being sleepy, and I just didn't prepare my news. And I know that on sleepy Thursday, I've got some reprints.
Yeah, you mentioned yesterday. I don't think I was sleepy yesterday. I thought we had a really good show yesterday. Now, today remains to be seen.
We shall see. We shall see, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Josh, I saw the picture of your softball team.
Oh, yes. My softball team won the old man championship.
You are easy to pick out.
Hold
you
on. Can we see that? I'd love to see that before we start giving you the tidbits.
Josh, you look like a bad boy.
Well, I was all, I'm the kid. I'm definitely, I could be a grandchild on this team.
It's just a shame the season is over because this is the perfect opportunity to go to the ballpark and see your older friends and tell them about the tidbits. You could say, hey, did you hear about this? I heard about it on the tidbits segment.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, but then they'd all have to get out their reading glasses and they'd struggle. Here's the old people.
Let me see. They look, here's, okay. This is a, at, what's the average age be about 50-ish? 55?
No, 70.
Look at the, but look at the fitness levels of these guys.
No, they're all still in good shape for the most part.
Softball is not a sport you can fake it. I can play golf with 80-year-olds, and I see people that can hardly get out of their golf cart playing this game, but softball's a different animal.
It's it's for athletes, Mike, as we learned with John Ratzenberger in the movie Tapawingo.
Who's the baseball Annie in the middle there?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. She showed up like 3 weeks ago and started coaching third base. I don't know anything about her. I don't know her name. I don't know. She just waves me home.
No, she was voted Miss Lincoln, Mike, because everyone took a shot at her in the balcony.
Hey, Johnny Carson joke.
And also, your video is off. If you could come back, that'd be great.
Oh, man. What did I do? What did I do? What did I do?
I thought you got jealous when he brought up the softball picture. There you are.
What did I do? I'm sorry. We start today with a study at the University of Toronto found that using lots of filler words, like could be a sign that your brain is breaking.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They tested the speech patterns of more than 240 adults. The ones who paused or used filler words a lot tended to show the biggest declines in executive function. Is that like a business term?
I don't know.
Executive function includes everything from memory and planning to reasoning and problem-solving skills, basically a broad term for how well your brain works. A decline as you get older is totally normal.
Yeah.
A decline as you get older is totally normal.
Mike, what if you decline as you get older?
And using a lot of filler words can also just be a bad habit. Well, I think it's a habit.
It's a habit. I mean,
30-year-olds that go,
For example, President Obama used to substitute and instead of uh.
And what I found, so don't panic, but they think that using them more and more could be a sign you're slipping. It works so well, they think doctors could even use it to test for cognitive decline.
Well, that's good news for people in the White House.
Let me tell you what I think about that story.
Mike, when you used to play on the morning show, the game, when you would have someone call in and ask them a question.
Oh, it was a blast. We did that years ago, yes.
And I loved that game.
We could do that on the cruise ship. I think that would be fantastic.
That would be good.
Wouldn't that be good for game show night? I think that might be very cool. But we're playing Family Feud, right?
Yeah, but we can have two. I never can tell.
All right.
Yeah, and I've got a quick game for game show night as well.
On the cruise ship?
Yeah, because you need the little... Whenever you go to like one of those TV broadcasts, you need the warm-up game that gets everyone excited before the real game starts.
Going to introduce Josh's lollipop tree?
No.
Whoa, he got you there. What the hell did I miss?
Yeah, you threw me off there.
Don't you remember in classic Richard Dawson Family Feud, there was a lollipop tree?
I don't.
And if you pulled out a lollipop that had the black stick on it, he got to bone you or something. I forget what the prize is.
You'll have to bring that to the show because I do not know that story.
In the chat room, please back me up. There used to be a lollipop tree on Feud.
Wow, that's exciting. A bunch of students, college students at the University of Texas. This is a great story.
Cool.
May have helped solve... This is a movie, as far as I'm concerned. At Texas, the University of Texas, they may have helped solve a murder case that went cold for over 30 years.
Cold case.
A 25-year-old woman was killed in 1991. No one ever got arrested for it. Criminology students pored through old evidence and realized a lady she was friends with had a motive and no alibi.
Cops announced this week that they arrested the woman for murder. A few students got emotional and even cried when they heard. The school's criminology department just launched a partnership with Arlington Police in Texas this fall to help them investigate cold cases. I want more from this story. That how fascinating that a bunch of kids that are in and we by
were
the way
in
when
a
I
van that said mystery machine.
You mean like Scooby-Doo?
Yes.
I remember when I went to American University, not only did they have a great school of law, the Washington College of Law, but and broadcast journalism, which I graduated from, but they also had a very, very significant criminology department. And I remember, because the textbooks from criminology are terrifying. They really, really are. So that is kudos like to those kids.
How'd you like to be that lady after 30 years and then you get nabbed?
Fantastic.
Think of where you were 30 years ago.
Wouldn't that make a great movie?
Fantastic movie.
Uh-huh. I love that story. I
Which
really
is
do.
Funny because, Josh, when Mike went to AU, if he got a cold case, it was usually Budweiser.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Every time. Or Wiedemann's.
Wiedemann's.
Here's another great story, but a little different. They don't call him the Shat for nothing.
Good headline.
William Shatner, and this is just my excuse to do my William Shatner impression. He once pooped his pants during a Broadway show, and it wasn't that long ago. Shatner was having stomach.
Oh, not when he was young.
No, Shatner was having stomach issues when he hit the stage for his one-man show, Shatner's World.
Oh boy,
we just live in it. Back in 2012, and then it happened. All right, here's what he says.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I have to go. In fact, I'm going to use the past tense. I had gone. Opening night on Broadway, I had crapped my pants. So I said, all right.
Opening night. That makes it even better.
He said, all right, there's been a technical difficulty, and I'll be right back. But the show must go on. So Shatner left the stage, cleaned himself up, and got on with it. And he says the show was, quote, very successful.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, luckily, they had a plan B while he was changing clothes. Leonard Nimoy came out and provided a golden shower.
That's bad. You never know. You know, those Broadway theaters are, as we know, Rob, a little intimate. So,
very narrow seats.
Get off those stage. Or if you had to create the Mount Rushmore of yacht rock, who would you put on it?
Though the first would have to be Michael McDonald, because I saw that documentary and he came off.
Get the dinger out. You are correct. You get the bell.
Came off so well.
Michael, I've got four. You've got the first one.
Okay. Steely Dan or Donald
Steely
Fagan?
Steely Dan is, that's number two on the list. Congratulations.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
You got two out of the four. You're 50% there.
Christopher Cross?
Christopher Cross was mentioned in this article, but he did not make the top four.
That's bad.
I think that is bad. That is, and I think Christopher Cross is almost the king of yacht rock.
Because
right?
he all. Oh, Mike, look out!
Way to go, Wanda Farmer. $100 super chat from Wanda Farmer. We appreciate that, Wanda. I love your candy company. Fantastic.
Fanny Farmer. Mike, the reason that Christopher Cross should be in it is that he was so ugly they didn't put his picture on the album, but still managed to have Michael McDonald sing on Ride Like the Wind. And that's like the perfect thing right there.
They say the big four, Kenny Loggins, Steely Dan, Boz Scaggs, and Michael McDonald. No love to Christopher Cross.
Oh, no. Not Boz Scaggs. That's not yacht rock.
Hey, don't look around. I do a great Boz Scaggs, too. Lido.
Hey, Boz.
Yes, Rob.
Well, on that list, where is Pablo Cruz?
I don't see him here. Steely Dan fans might not like seeing them on the list, and Ultimate Classic Rock acknowledges that they have plenty of songs that aren't yacht rock, but they add, quote, when they downshift to silky smooth gems like Peg, Dirty Work, or Hey 19, Steely Dan set the tone and the studio standard for yacht rock.
I love the fact that Steely Dan is on the list, because if you watch that yacht rock documentary, I think it was a Netflix joint, Donald Fagan was such a dick to everyone that tried to interview him because they didn't want to be associated with yacht rock, when in fact he's responsible for the creation of it.
Yeah, he doesn't mind the cash.
Yeah, yeah. So I love the fact that he's being associated with it.
I get it. I mean, yacht rock is associated with dentist office music, so I mean, I understand
that. Well, for a while it was, but I don't think, I mean, now that there are like true yacht rock stations on like Sirius XM and their specialty shows, I think it's something.
I did find the lollipop tree.
Okay. Oh, good.
Let's take a look. Yeah.
There it is.
People didn't think we had a lollipop tree. Remember when I said Mr. Kelly grows them? This is what he grows.
What an icon.
He's so good.
God, so good.
This is our third year. We're cross-pollinating at the moment. See? Nature's wonderful, isn't it? Mr. Teddy Cooper designed that for us. You can be our first.
He was such a slicky boy, wasn't he?
The best.
I mean, so good, at ease on, on TV.
Teddy, I didn't know you were here. Take a bow, Teddy. We wanted a lollipop tree, and Teddy designed it. Come on out here. That's sensational.
Kiss him. Kiss Teddy.
Really, oh, wow. What the hell's that? What was that? One-eyed Teddy.
Luckily, Mike, Teddy was just in from the ocean.
It explains why the tree looks that way.
Oh, my God. You know those lollipop sticks? You'll put your eye out. You're welcome. God. Wow. Oh, thank you, Richard.
Teddy,
way to go, Josh.
Teddy,
thank you.
To build a peg leg.
That's fantastic. It feels like everything costs more. Here we go. Here's the truth, though.
Yeah.
The American Farm Bureau Federation released its annual Thanksgiving report, and they say, how about this?
Yeah.
The cost of Thanksgiving dinner has dropped for the third straight year with all the inflation news we get. How about this one? No.
Only,
how about this?
Only if you don't put eggs in your stuffing.
They, based on what you need for a basic Thanksgiving meal for 10 people, no frills, no alcohol, just things like turkey, cranberry, stuffing, and pie. They claim the average cost this year is $55.18, or around $5.52 per person.
That's why I hate this stat. Mm-hmm. They do this every year. Turkey's more expensive than ever. It's going to cost $8 to feed your family. Yet we all go spend $17 at McDonald's.
Yep,
for
this
a
is true.
Meal.
Mm-hmm. They say it's down 5% from last year. Do your own research and let us know in the comments as we get close to Thanksgiving. I'd like to know.
I'd like to know if you think,
because you'll know if you're a regular person going out and shopping for your family dinner, you're going to know. And I don't buy into the big turkey people. You know what I mean?
This year, I'm only preparing turkey wings and instant mashed potatoes.
No, you're not. Hank, no. Thank you very much, Chris Arnold. Enjoy Thanksgiving next week, boys. Thank you very much. We will be doing shows. What's the schedule, Mr. Soroka?
Monday, Tuesday live shows. Wednesday, special show with the director of Tapawingo.
Yes.
Thursday is Rob Radio. Friday is TMO's Classics coming
there
back.
There you go. So
and
enjoy
cool,
your week of content.
Actually, for Rob Radio this time, I've played the Thanksgiving song so many times. This is going to be a neat angle. These are all the songs that I played when I was on college radio.
Okay.
So if you're a person that was listening to the radio in the early 90s, you're going to hear all your favorite songs with actual WVCW elements in it.
That is a jam-packed Thanksgiving week of content from the Mike O'Mara Show, and we appreciate the Super Chats thanking us for that. Thank you very much. Finally today, the job site Monster released a new poll. This is, Rob, you might want to pay attention to this
okay.
one. The job site Monster released a new poll on revenge quitting.
Well, now, what's this about?
That found almost half of us have done it before. They defined it as quitting without notice to express frustration. 47% say they've abruptly quit a job because they were fed up. 57% have also seen a coworker do it. A toxic work environment is the number one reason people gave for doing it. Poor management is a close second. Feeling undervalued or ignored is third. Let me just say, none of this applies to this broadcast, but I'm giving Rob a bit of a hard time here because Rob has a couple of side hustles that are out there.
I don't know
that
it's
really
a hard time. I think it's more of just a subtle explanation.
I've had someone quit this way on me before.
46% said they might not have done it if they just had a different boss.
Never can tell.
So having a good boss can really make a difference. Revenge quitting, unlike rage quitting, doesn't always happen immediately. Over half said they stuck around another 6 months or more after deciding they wanted out.
God.
One in five daydreamed about telling their boss to shove it for over 2 years before they finally took off.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Anybody listening to this, maybe down the road.
Maybe
on the cruise, huh?
Yeah.
How about on the cruise?
Delighted. Yeah, come find me.
Rob will tell you the story when we're on the cruise.
I'll be the guy with a root beer. And to Quinn in the chat room, Maddie will be on during Christmas break to tell her classic story, I promise.
Very good. We look forward to that. Massey Maliciello. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody.
Cookbook contributor, Maddie Maliciello.
That's right. She is in our TMOS family cookbook, and we sincerely appreciate it. This episode powered by Incogni. It's your personal data's bodyguard. Listen up, clambakes. Data brokers scoop up your info, names, addresses, those pesky Social Security numbers. I print different ones every day, and they steal them. They sell it to whoever's paying, scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That is why your phone won't stop a-ringing. Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking. Data breaches are way up statistically. Breaches increase every year. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers. Wipers!
Not that kind of wiping, Mike.
They keep monitoring and they push back when brokers resist. You stay off their list, period. With four flexible plans, their protection always fits you and your family, and you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line, if your data's out there, you need Incogni. Incogni is an amazing partner. So if you like us, please check them out today. It would mean a lot to us. Use code TMOS at Incogni.com/TMOS to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni.com/TMOS. And we thank you. The pseudo Bobar.
Yes.
Rob brought this to me either a day or two ago, and I have been looking at it, and I keep it on the show prep every day because I have no idea what you are talking about, but it intrigues me.
Mike, pseudo Bulbar, the pseudo Bulbar effect, also known as PBA.
Bulbar, not Bobar.
Bulbar.
Bulb.
Also known as the PBA. Now, Mike, I know you always think of the Pro Bowlers Association when I say PBA.
I'm still a member, for about 30 years.
Do you still have the picture with Earl Anthony?
I do. I do, and his crew cut.
Yeah, Mike, the thing is that this is an effect, this PBA, that causes...
I have a lock of hair from Chris Schenkel. Did you know that?
I did not know that. What kind of hair?
Pubic hair.
Of course. There are five conditions that are associated with PBA, and what PBA means is uncontrollable laughing or crying.
Okay.
Now,
both are included
in
that?
Well, they're sort of related. If you think about it, you can laugh till you cry.
You know how you can identify that?
How?
When you see those cute little babies that I like so bad that are online with the laughing, they are usually right on the borderline of bursting into tears as well when they do their cute little baby laughs.
Maybe that was just your children, Mike.
Yeah, always. And my son's 12 now, and my 28-year-old daughter's coming into town, too. I'll get her to cry.
She's on the train crying right now.
Yes, because she's coming to see me.
So if you know someone, now I can't cry anymore because of the Prozac, but I do laugh a lot, but I feel I'm in control. If you have uncontrollable laughing or crying, watch out for these things because that is a symptom. PBA is a symptom of, for one thing, multiple sclerosis.
Pseudo-bulbar.
Yeah, which is the uncontrollable urge to laugh or cry.
That's scary.
10% of people with MS usually develop PBA. So if you have MS, you might laugh and cry without control, which makes the disease even worse, I think.
Well, does that mean that smoking a lot of weed can give you pseudo-bulbar? Because that's uncontrolled laughing.
I don't think it's related.
Okay.
MS is it's a neurological thing, and it gets in, and you just can't control the part of your brain that monitors laughter and crying. Also, if you have ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease, that's why Lou Gehrig laughed all the time.
Well, it seems
today,
like they're all...
I consider myself. Yes, go ahead. Well,
it seems like these are all diseases that have to do with your nervous system.
Yeah, well, again, ALS is a neuron disease, and so that's how it affects it. Also, a traumatic brain injury can cause it. 5 to 48% of people that have had a traumatic brain injury.
Okay, you know what
PBA.
I'm thinking of right now? I'm thinking of the movie with Joaquin Phoenix, The Joker.
Yeah.
Remember where he can't control his laughing? That's pseudo-bulbar.
Yeah, PBA. Yeah. I hadn't even put in that connection, but that is it. Yeah.
He's got that. He's got that condition. You know?
This surprises me that from 28 to 52% of people who have had a stroke have pseudobulbar. And so just the stop it. No crying.
You know, for the guy that's probably in the you know, in the danger zone for that more than anybody on the yes. show, perhaps I stop with the stroke humor.
Yeah.
You know? Well, by the way, you won't hear from me if that happens. I'm not going to be you know, putting myself out there. I'm a fighter. Don't worry. I won't pull a Patricia Neal on you. I'll just have Carla put me in a room.
We're yeah. going to need a week of shows from you.
Yeah.
And up next, the goodbye shows.
A.O. Soroka, ladies and gentlemen, his new name, Always On. Always On Soroka. That's what his new nickname is, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease sufferers will sometimes have this PBA. So the reason I say this is fascinating, the uncontrollable laughter and crying, but also if you find yourself laughing or crying for reasons you don't understand for extended lengths of time, you should really see a neurologist because it's a sign of many bad things happening in your body.
That, I didn't realize it was going to be doom and gloom. That's terrifying. It
it's
really
not
is.
Doom and gloom. I'm clear, Mike. I mean, I laugh all the time.
Well, it's not all about you, Rob. I'm talking about everybody out there, everybody like me listening to this story. It's terrifying to me. Yes,
but
Josh.
It's only if you can't explain where the laughter or crying is coming from, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for example, you have this show on in your automobile or at your desk mm-hmm. through your earbuds, and you're yeah. listening to this, and you are laughing uncontrollably. You do not have a neurological condition. You are just appreciating the quality that we give you each and every day.
What if you're not laughing at all?
If you're not laughing at all, your last name is spelled S-R-O-K-A. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the way that goes. Oh, hey, holiday season. That's exciting. It's the mug ornament. All right. Look, I don't care. I really don't. I don't care because, you know, the fact is.
We've gotten to this state now where you're going to pretend not to care?
No, because I want to know. This is a fundraiser for, it's a holiday fundraiser for the show. And I'm checking every day. And I don't care if the numbers are, you know, not jumping off the page.
True or false?
That's not, that's the first rule of a mistake in sales is talking about the ornaments and finding out how many we've sold. Yes,
Mike,
Rob.
True or false? Any ornament that doesn't sell, you're going to put on your tree. All of them.
Now, what does that do? What does that do? That absolutely, you are motivating people now to not purchase the ornament.
I would like to see that. Maybe before they all get mailed out. I would like a tree full of TMOS mugs.
Yeah.
What, from me?
I'd rather someone else buy them all and display.
That's right. How many have we sold so far? We sold two yesterday. How many did we sell?
I'm pulling it up.
All right. Please let me know.
My favorite orders yesterday were the mugs and the cookbook combo.
Oh,
that's an excellent combo.
That's fantastic. By the way, we're talking about the holiday mugs. This is a miniature version with the twine you can hang from. Let me start that again.
It's ready to hang, Mike.
It's ready to hang. It's well hung from your tree. This is a miniature version of our TMOS coffee mug.
Yeah.
And you can celebrate the holidays. We designed these especially for Christmas time, and they look great on your tree. Look at red and white. Perfect Santa colors there. It's
and
great.
I hate to appeal to
one
the.
More. One
you
more.
We sold another one.
We sold only one yesterday?
Yes. One is going out to James Shafran.
Are they ceramic or metal?
Those are metal.
Yeah. And
that
I hate
your
to appeal,
cat can
Mike.
Knock the tree over and it'll be fine.
To the hoarders in our audience and the completists. But we've put out five previous ornaments for the show that you had to buy a fruitcake to get.
Yep.
If you don't have this mug, you do not have the complete set of TMOS ornaments.
See, that's what I call selling. Celebrate Father Christmas. He's a good daddy. And this will be the last holiday ornament commercial you will hear on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is
that
just
is
a
not
nice.
True.
It isn't. It is.
No, we will have another commercial next week.
All right.
Unless they all sell.
If we have to do another commercial next week, I'm hanging up my shingle. I know this is supporting
the
show.
This is the second time we've done a commercial for this thing.
I want these to sell like hotcakes, like hot mugs.
Hot mugs.
Put it on your wreath, too. You can do that. You know, why not?
put it on your wreath.
Or you can use it as a Yuletide shot glass. Fill it with Nog, 50% Nog and 50% grain alcohol, and shoot it.
Oh,
mine's
that
in
would
the
be
doorway as a mistletoe.
That's wonderful. It's exciting. You can put mistletoe in it and let it spill over. This beauty comes in classic Christmas red and looks great on any tree, real, fake, or questionably alive. Supplies are super limited. They're marked down to just $20. When they're gone, they're gone. That's it.
No
more. That's all. Grab yours at MichaelMarisShow.com. Get the store tab for all of your holiday shopping needs. And don't leave cookies for old Saint Nick. Hang a TMO's mug ornament instead. I thought that was going to be a rhyme. Your Tannenbaum deserves the upgrade. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike.
I have four of the little mugs. And what I do is there's a neighborhood cat. He's so cute. And I go out and I put one mug on each of his paws. And then you can hear him around the neighborhood. Clink, 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 clink. It's sounds just, like there's this. So many things you can do. He's a feral cat. Kitty, kitty, kitty.
Meow.
Kitty. Kitty, kitty.
Meow.
Kitty, kitty.
Mike O'Mara sound effect lab.
Meow.
Oh, look, you brought me a dead mouse.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm watching The Beast in Me, the Claire Danes.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Miniseries. And I can't look away. That's my endorsement of the show. I said it's very Claire Danesy. Yes, it is. It doesn't matter. It's got a good plot. It's got Mike Ehrmantraut in it. And I forgot the actor's name. Rob always remembers it. I always forget.
Jonathan Scott? It's something like that. Hold on. For you.
So anyway, it is a, I like it. I really, really like it. And it's a good story.
Would it
story.
Be better without Claire Danes?
No. No,
you
need Claire Danes to be Claire Danesy, and it's
Jonathan Banks,
good bad guy in it too. By the way, Jonathan Banks related to the bad guy, not the definitive bad guy, not the main bad guy, but the father of the main bad guy. If you're looking for a different role for him, he's playing Jonathan Banks. You know,
and I know this is on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday, I happened on something on Netflix that I saw all the press leading up for, but I didn't know it had dropped, so I watched it yesterday. Have you seen the Eddie Murphy documentary, Being Eddie?
No, and I really, my feeling on Eddie Murphy, if I see that promo one more time where I said I was going to be famous at 18, I said, I was going to be famous at 18. It's like,
That is an easy thing to hate on because it is so, you know,
I don't hate Eddie Murphy. I think makes me laugh.
I don't know. After watching this, and I'm the perfect age demographic for Eddie Murphy. I was 11 when he started on Saturday Night Live and saw all his movies all along. It really impressed me with him as a person and his work ethic and what he did and many comebacks all along the way. He's actually, if you isolated it, he's a little self-centered, but somehow on him it's charming because it's like part of his plan. I think if you watch it, you will come away with a new respect for Eddie Murphy.
Okay, all right, I'll take that endorsement.
But he's 64 years old.
Yeah.
Do it when he passes.
Wow, well, no, because now he gets to comment on it.
I worked with a sales guy early in my radio career named Olin Hester, and Olin coined the phrase, first time I ever heard it. I know it's been used by a lot of African Americans since then, but he said it to me at breakfast one morning. We're having a sales meeting for breakfast, and we are sitting there, and I ask him his age, and he said 60-something, and I'm like, no. I thought Olin was seriously maybe in his late 30s, early 40s, and that's when he said, black don't crack. And man, Eddie Murphy, 64.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks phenomenal for 64.
There is one shot of his hand that he looks 64 in his hand. But his face is...
The talent? Yeah. The 60-plus talent?
I don't want to spoil it, but at the end, he does some work with ventriloquist dummies. That is...
You can't argue with Eddie Bia. I just, the part that I have trouble with sometimes is the full of himself, Eddie. That's the part
Think he absolutely, he pulls it off. Okay. I was impressed with him. I really liked him.
There you go. That's a good endorsement of that. Based on the Claire Danes show, The Beast in Me, I have concluded that if I ever need to get rid of a body, I just think this is the best possible way to do it. You've seen it in multiple movies. It's been done. I'll ask you to guess. What do you think the best way to get rid of a body is? Because I think this is, to be honest with you.
Mailing it to different locations in pieces and boxes.
You are incorrect. That is not the correct answer. I'm sorry.
I think just drop to the bottom of the bay. Nice and simple.
That is incorrect, too. That's two buzzers for you.
I know you can't bury it under the hydrangea bush because it'll change the color of your flowers. I
learned
that
it in the backyard, not a good alternative. Yeah. No.
Grind up?
No. That's a let me just say, you're close.
Okay, so it has to do with dismembering the body somehow.
No, it does not have to do with dismembering the body.
Acid. Burn it in acid.
Acid is not correct. That's Jeffrey Dahmer stuff right there.
I'm out then.
Josh, any guesses?
I have no guess. I have not thought about how to get rid of
the body. I'll give you a hint. It is done in The Beast in Me and famously done in the movie Pulp Fiction.
Battery acid?
No.
No, that's Reservoir Dogs. I'm sorry.
Nope. It is done by putting it in a car and scrapping the car, taking it to a body in the trunk, taken to the scrapyard in one of those amazing machines that takes a full-size car and puts it into a little bitty cube. That's it. And they do a good version of it.
Not as good if it's a hatchback because you see the body in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
I was specifically saying the trunk. That's the way it is.
Think ahead if you're going to get rid of a body.
So if anybody's got plans this weekend, you can thank me later. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And,
Mike will not take you to the airport or assist in body disposal.
I will not. It's not what I do, ladies and gentlemen. All right, well, we're selling a lot of things this time of year. It's what we do. It's how we roll. And we're talking about it. It's off to the elves that are printing it up for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's the TMOS Family Cookbook. You cunning cooks and charming chefs, the Michael Mara Show Family Cookbook is officially at the printer, soon to be proudly perched on your kitchen shelf. It's your ticket to flavorful, fantastic feasting, packed with TMOS exclusive hits like Jimmy's Wings, Mama. Look, change the recipes up in the copy.
Well, I don't want to reveal
too
much.
We've been mentioning Jimmy's Wings. Well, why? You can reveal. You're not giving the recipe, so mention them all. There's so many good things. Your Uncle Mindy's, layered dip.
Aunt Mickey's layered salad. We have amazing things. One pot spaghetti is beautiful.
Yes.
Josh's fried green tomatoes, which I will be on like crazy.
I thought Josh's section was just hot dogs.
I left out the hot dogs.
And Skittles and energy drinks. Yeah.
Skittles and a grilled cheese sandwich with the chocolate milk. Rob's fruitcake also in there. Dozens of entries and entrees. It's entrees, you ass.
Yeah,
desserts. Apps, appetizers,
yeah.
Even potent potables. This thing stuffed like a Thanksgiving turkey. We've gathered all of our favorites, add some from TMOS Nation, just for you. The cookbook will land in your hands before the holidays, and you can pre-order now. It's a great gift.
Beautiful.
At MichaelMaraShow.com. Eat like us, smell our aromas, taste our flavors, consume our calories. Be a part of the TMOS Christmas zeitgeist. Buy plenty and share. It's the perfect gift for anyone who can swallow. And if you can't, well, that's what blenders are for.
Exactly.
The TMOS Family Cookbook. Order now, order often, ideally in multiples of five. Be sweet.
Be sweet.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
KHJ.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Van Dyke.
KHJ Los Angeles.
Mike, Miss Universe is happening, and I love it because there's nothing that really celebrates women like a beauty pageant. And why are you laughing?
Stop it. Go ahead. Continue.
Miss Jamaica had a rough night. Now, I have two clips of this. One will be dry, and then I'll do the one with the narration from the AI guy.
Okay.
But this is Miss Jamaica. When you are a beauty pageant contestant, it's important to show grace. Here she is. Beautiful.
Oh, man. Jamaica's had a rough year.
It has. It has.
That sucks.
Here it is with narration.
Universe Jamaica fell from the stage and had to be taken to the hospital on a stretcher.
Oh, that's a big fall, too.
Yeah.
Oh, poor thing. That sucks.
It sucks. No permanent injuries, but Donald Trump no longer sexually interested in her.
Okay, you made me laugh all that.
Mike,
thank you.
Stop the insanity. Do you remember Susan Powder?
Yeah, it was. She's hawking stuff online.
It
right?
was. She was a fitness guru with short blonde hair. You'll see her in a
and
second.
Like really like almost like a precursor to Jillian Michaels, right?
Yeah, but not maybe more abrasive than Jillian Michaels.
A little harsher. And Jillian Michaels was harsh.
Yeah.
So this lady was turbo harsh.
She's no longer being a fitness guru. She's driving an Uber now. And because of this, now they see she's doing her best, Mike. And because of this, they made and Jamie Lee Curtis is producing it. They made a documentary about Susan Powder that's out soon.
Okay.
I think you said, "Do you remember Susan Powder?" And I was like, "Stop the insanity!
No, stop the insanity!"
Oh, Susan Powder was a queen of the
infomercial.
She was on magazine covers. She was
Wasn't
on late
she really
night talk shows.
Too?
She was the original wellness influencer.
Yes, she was.
Susan was inescapable in the early 90s.
She was a bona fide celebrity.
This is fun.
Is that why she disappeared?
She disappeared, Mike.
I don't need to be comfortable. I need to be filmed.
There she is.
So it's fine. I can sit here for hours as long as I have that light on and that camera on.
People don't know. I don't see one penny. Where's it going?
You are walking back from having spent the whole day in a welfare office. And you're walking back to the welfare weekly that you live in.
How much of the downfall is someone's responsibility and how much is it bad actors?
I never said, show me the damn bank balance. I should have. Things had happened that nobody expected.
Rob, I remember vividly.
Yeah.
That she had been super obese and lost the weight. That was the catalyst.
Her angle is that after divorce, she went from 260 pounds down to the fitness icon.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you said, yeah. So you said no, though, before that.
I didn't remember that as her thing. I thought she just sprung on the
So
the
I had street. It right?
You absolutely did.
Well,
yeah.
He said, why did he say no at the front of that then? You know? Because it sounded like he was saying
I
was wrong.
No, I think Josh was correcting me.
I'm not paranoid.
No, not at all.
I was saying I didn't think 260 was uber fat, as you were saying.
Well, 260 on a petite body would be large.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, look at me. I'm if 260 on me would be fat. So well, you know, I mean,
she's 6'5".
She is not.
Shut up. Okay, move on.
What is the matter with you?
I don't know. God almighty. Yes.
If you're going to hire a Santa Claus to be in your parking lot at Christmas time.
Yeah, that's. I like this already. I really do.
You really should vet him.
Pyro 7, a killer set to play Santa this winter. But because of our story, the people who own the property where he was setting up shop wants to make amends with the victim's family. Kyro 7's Jake Chapman has that story for
us. What the hell?
In Tacoma.
And a committed murderer.
How is the victim's family reacting to all this?
Is playing Santa. Convicted,
well, Monique,
I should say.
They are absolutely relieved right now. They were telling me to hear that this man was back out there has really brought up a lot of trauma recently. But to hear that the business right here that owns this parking lot wants to rectify this has them thrilled. And they also do not blame them for not knowing this man's past.
Because people aren't aware.
Always.
You know, he's
right?
A perfect example.
Yes.
They're not aware. I don't blame them at all.
Also,
that's creepy.
If you're taking your kid to a parking lot Santa,
no,
I think.
No, I disagree. You take your kid to the Santa that's convenient to you. That's why for multiple years we took our kid to Bass Pro Shops.
That's the one convenient for us.
That's the one that people get. Rob, you go where you can go with your kid to see Santa. That's really, you can't blame them.
Holiday season.
There you go.
Does your new shopping center have a Santa yet?
I believe we might be looking at him. Great holiday promotion.
You know, she's opening on December 1st. Maybe that would be a real traffic generator.
I think that the third Saturday in December would be an ideal time for jolly old St. Nicholas to help himself to a duck donut.
There you go.
And Santa is known for a glowing skin.
Yes, he is. So. Yeah. You guys are asses, both of you. Go move on,
all
please.
Right. Let's close with this, shall we? A guy is pulled over because he was driving the wrong way in traffic on a highway. This is in Lady Lake, Florida. Do you know that?
Oh, do I know it? I just like to leave it at that. Do I know it?
He claims that he was driving erratically because of a disease he has.
Yeah.
But he couldn't pronounce the disease because he was too drunk.
That point.
Okay.
If he lets go of you, you're going to fall over. Because yes. Then I'm not even going to try.
This is, of course.
Yeah, just
all right. Can you just follow the tip of my finger with your eyes and your eyes only?
Don't Florida.
Look at those eyes.
Follow my finger. There you go.
Oh, dear.
Follow my finger.
He gets a little upset here.
My finger's over there. All the way to you.
Can't right. Move his eyes.
I see the finger.
Okay. You finger.
That's failing a sobriety
That's
check.
Where I've always had a problem. With my EFG, it's hard to actually follow.
What is your EFD?
Boy.
Hyperactive.
Americans will BS in any
you're
condition.
Right.
One of those. Yeah, all right. We do believe you're impaired.
God love the men in blue America, and the women in blue too, right?
If you want to see that clip for yourself, just Google Foster Brooks. That's all you need to do.
We do believe you're impaired. Yeah, I get that.
My EFD.
We got to get out of here. We've got a great UFO bonus show. If you like that subject, we're going to handle it in a very unique way and discuss the thing that was the catalyst was that big thing that's hurtling towards the earth.
Yeah.
Don't worry. It's nothing serious. We think. UFO show tomorrow on the bonus show. For Josh Sirok and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying, buy an ornament and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment.
You jack with me and you'll be gone before you know it.
We think of Rob as good Rob and bad Rob.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know.